We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It is still a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, despite the Steelers' wild card loss. Do you have your phone on right now? What is making that noise?
Me chewing pizza.
Oh, I heard the show on a like half second delay playing in the background, and I thought you had your phone up and ready to go.
No, that's you. That's you, man.
A year in, and we still haven't figured out the technical issues. Welcome into Cabali and Mac. Follow along with us on social media at Cabali and Mac, whether it's Twitter, X, where you may be watching this right now. And a big appreciation to all of you that are staying up late, despite the fact that there is not good news. The Steelers lose to the Texans 30-6 in the wild card game. Mike Tomlin's seventh consecutive playoff loss. Steelers have not won a playoff game in 9 years now. We'll get into all that, all the future stuff. We'll break down tonight's game in particular as well. Felt like maybe there was some hope early on, and then very quickly it dissipated. And by the fourth quarter, you could tell this was not going to be a good day for the Steelers, nor their fans. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube as well, at Cabali and Mac, and turn on your notifications so you don't miss anything throughout what will be, I think, a very interesting offseason. But officially, good morning, friends. Yinzer's countrymen. It is morning. It is. What are you showing me? Or are you just changing your backdrop?
Trying to get that light out of the way.
Just you're go. All good. God, it looks. It looks like a heavenly glow over your head right now. Just go with it. So this is officially, since now it is January 13th. It's after midnight as Kaboom plays with his laptop.
Ah, that's better.
There you go. It is officially the one-year anniversary of Cabali and Mac. Look at that.
Nobody cares. All they care about is firing Tomlin.
We'll get to that.
Don't worry. What do we care about that for?
We'll get to it in a second. In all seriousness, this is episode, show number, whatever you want to call it, 157. We've done this 157 times now over the course of the last 365 days. That causes a large, heavy sigh from Mark, probably from some of you as well, who continue to come back despite the fact that you think we're dummies sometimes, despite the fact that you think we're homers sometimes, despite the fact that you think whatever you think about us. We appreciate Ian's coming back every time. When we started doing this, it was immediately after a playoff loss to the Baltimore Ravens last year. And literally, the thumbnail that I created for YouTube for the title of the episode was another Tomlin one and done. Here we are 365 days later, and we're right back where we started. We can get to all of that, but just a sincere thanks to all of you who consume the show all the time. And obviously to the sponsors who jumped on board to actually make this like doable for us on a regular basis. We're making a little bit more than beer money, but definitely not paying the mortgage with this. Nonetheless, we continue to do it because we appreciate Ince. We appreciate our sponsors. And I'd like to think, Mark, even though I get on your nerves, we appreciate each other.
I don't know about that. Talk to me tomorrow about 9:25 in the morning.
Mark will be my first guest tomorrow morning when I'm filling in on You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports. And I'll make sure he gets up nice and early to have the very same conversations we're going to have here tonight. Thanks to all of you watching this later. If you went to bed early and you're watching it now on Tuesday or Wednesday, we appreciate you catching up with us. Our immediate thoughts after this one, you caused three turnovers. You can't lose the ball game. You just can't. And you get 3 points off of those three turnovers. It's a terrible sign. The Texans got two turnovers. They turned each one into a touchdown. Now, you can argue about how meaningful those were because they were late. But the fumble recovery and that scoop and score, if you want to call it that, certainly iced the game. At that point, you could kind of put it to bed. The pick six late was just the cherry on top for a Texans defense that was impeccable tonight. They did not give the Steelers any room to breathe whatsoever.
Yeah, it was not pretty at the end there, last 8 to 10 minutes. I mean, it was only, 10 points? Mm-hmm. It was a 10-6?
I mean, 7-6 going to half, and even though you didn't feel great about it, you still felt like, hey, if they stopped the Texans on the first drive, which they did, all you need is one drive here. We talked all week. It's a race to 20, and really, at halftime, it felt like a race to maybe 17 or even 14 at that point, and the Steelers were still, despite a really poor performance, 0 of 6 on third downs in the first half, 2 of 14 for the game. They were still right there technically in it on the scoreboard at halftime.
Yeah, you know, those third downs, they just put themselves in bed first and second down. We talked about that a whole month where Rodgers was able to get him into third and manageable. That's what C.J. Stroud was able to do and the Texans were able to do. Steelers were not able to do that. And, you know, the funny thing or maybe the ironic thing about this game is everything that we saw – during the season, popped up from time to time tonight. From the drops to the missed tackles to the running game to the offensive line struggling to allowing big plays. Everything seemed to just pop up here at one point or another. And those turnovers, I wouldn't call it three turnovers for, you know, only, 3 points. That one was inside the 10. You're going to have to go 90-some-odd yards. I know it was a turnover, but that's more than taking points off of that. But you had to score. I mean, the Texans did not look very fluent in offense early in this game, and they let them stick around. And once again, another thing that popped up, time of possession, number of plays. Everything they had an issue with this year – sometime at one point popped up tonight.
Yeah, the Texans' first touchdown drive, which was just Nick Chubb carrying multiple times in a row, then Woody Marks, then back to Nick Chubb. That's a perfect example of something that reared its ugly head from earlier in the season when they couldn't stop the run. The Texans identified it on that drive, and they just stuck with it. They finished it off with a Christian Kirk touchdown catch, who had a huge game, 8 catches for 144 yards, 3 long ones. Every time I looked up, I saw Brandon Echols chasing him.
Yeah, he did not have a good game as well. But those Kirk plays weren't even, I wouldn't even say difficult plays. I mean, he was wide open, absolutely wide open on all those plays where he was able to get big gains. And those big chunk yards are just going to kill you. And it killed him again tonight. I mean, I don't know where you go from this point forward, but you're going to have to make some additions, some subtractions to help this out a little bit because, like we said, man, everything seemed to come full circle at one point today. Well, only thing we didn't see was a Tomlin a clock mismanagement, but he did call a timeout on 3rd and 1.
Yeah, late in the first half, he called that timeout that gave. Now, the Texans, you know, they didn't end up doing anything with that drive anyway, but still.
They said Steelers guy said that they're running work, but they stopped. They're averaging 2.8 yards a carry. Nothing was working.
Gainwell and Warren were getting hit right at the line or in the backfield. The running game wasn't really going anywhere. And the defense spent way too much time on the field. I will say there was a feeling, and you can call this anecdotal if you want, but I think it was key in this game. The DK Metcalf drop.
Huge.
Everything pivoted off of that. I mean, the building was alive and on fire. The offense wasn't churning out yardage, but, you know, they had an opportunity with that play to sort of flip the field, to use a Tomlinism, and put together a drive, and instead it dies out there. And Rodgers didn't go back to DK until the fourth quarter. And that was huge. DK, for whatever reason, looked rusty. Missed a block on a play.
Right after that.
So DK looked out of sorts. They're locked into DK Metcalf. And we could talk future stuff a little bit later. But, you know, DK Metcalf, if he's going to be this team's number one wide receiver for the foreseeable future, which, again, he's locked into a deal that makes him that, those are the catches you got to make. Like, that's in a playoff game at home where you've got a chance. You only need to piece together maybe two or three touchdown drives with the way both defenses were playing early. You can't let that one go through your hands.
Yeah, no, that puts him probably in field goal range too, or very darn close to field goal range if he makes that catch. You said right after that, I was keeping track of the yardage, and I gave up when it got to 113, 130 to 16 after that dropped in favor of the Texans. I don't know what it ended up after that before the Steelers actually got on track, but it was a huge play. And the other huge play I do think was – obviously, the sack fumble touchdown by the big man, where 9 out of 10 times that's called for smacking the head and coming back right at that point, and it's still 10-6. Because he definitely hit him in the head.
I don't know if at that point that's enough to swing the game. Because
but
by
it's 10-6. It's 10-6 at that time.
I hear you. At that point, we had seen that the Steelers weren't going to do anything on offense. That drive, even if they get a personal foul, roughing the passer call there where Rodgers was hitting the head, you're probably talking about a field goal. Okay, it's a one-point game, and maybe you hold the offense again, and maybe you're able to piece together another field goal drive. And it doesn't get out of control in the fourth quarter, especially late in the fourth. But it felt like by that point the die had been cast, and the DK drop had a lot to do with that. The other thing that was very noticeable tonight, after a phenomenal year, Troy Faletonu got his ass kicked tonight by Danielle Hunter. And look, Danielle Hunter is an all-pro edge rusher. He's very, very good at what he does. We talked about him and Will Anderson Jr. coming into the game, but Faletonu just got absolutely worked by Hunter tonight.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, he was on an island out there. So you would hope that he would play better than that, but he used to do probably pick up arguably the best edge rusher in the league besides Myles Garrett, right? So you would assume that he would get some of his. I thought Dylan Cook played well other than one play, and if you're going to sit there and complain about Dylan Cook over a month's worth of work because he had one poor play where, you know, I don't even know if it was his fault.
No, I didn't have, I mean, at one point on one of those plays, I think it was the Rodgers intentional grounding, maybe Faletonu went turnstile mode on a Danielle Hunter spin move. And typically that would be a meeting at the quarterback there between Hunter and Anderson, but Dylan Cook was literally laying on top of Will Anderson Jr., not letting him get up off the ground. Dylan Cook did his job for the most part tonight. The line as a whole though, I mean, had their issues. Mason McCormick got whooped a couple times.
Some big boys up front. Big boys.
I mean, this offensive line in general trended in the right direction all year.
Yeah.
After a tough back third of the year last season in 2024. Mm-hmm. I like what they have. Ryan Clark said it on SportsCenter after the game. From center out, or no, Aaron Rodgers, not Ryan Clark. I'm getting everybody's words confused now. Aaron Rodgers in his post-game press conference said, you have to like what you have from center, Zach Frazier, out to McCormick and Faletonu on the right side. He gave those guys credit. He said, as long as Isaac wants to play, he can come. He should come back too. And obviously gave Dylan Cook credit for what he did getting thrown into the mix late in the year. The offensive line feels like it's in a good place. I'm sure there's room for improvement, and I'm sure Faletonu may move on or hang him up, but they're in a good place overall. the offensive line.
They obviously had their worst game since probably, what, Buffalo maybe?
I would say all year. I think it was worse even than the Buffalo game.
Yeah, maybe early in the season they were struggling a little bit. But once again, this is an elite defense. We knew that they were elite, at least with their edge rushers and their corners. Nobody ever told us about that defensive line as well. Some big boys that can put push around some of those inside guys. You know, I was more concerned with on the other side of the ball how easily the Steelers got pushed off the ball, especially those inside guys. I mean, from guard, center, guard, you know, if Hayward was over there, if Benton was over there, they were getting pushed. If you saw, I don't know if you could see it on TV, but you could see that the entire line would push 3 or 4 yards forward on every single play. I mean, we're talking about Woody freaking Marks here, who had 74 career yards. Is as high, goes for like 130, doesn't he?
Yeah, I thought that drive, like I mentioned, the Chubb and Marks drive, where the Texans just steamrolled down the field for 90-plus yards to score the Christian Kirk touchdown, the first touchdown of the game, kind of put them on their heels the rest of the night. It's an issue from earlier in the year, rearing its ugly head again, but they never recovered from that. I don't know if they were gassed, if they were beaten up, but the Texans ended up with 400 yards of total offense, despite the fact that C.J. Stroud didn't really look that great.
He looked terrible. Other than those couple throws, but I think me and you could have made a couple of those throws. He's taking some steps backwards.
I like how you think you can make field goals like Chris Boswell, and you think you can throw like C.J. Stroud now. I like your overconfident physical abilities.
I can make the field goal. I don't know. The shoulder hurts a little, but I don't know if I can make the throws. But I probably wouldn't fumble as much as him.
I can't throw a 15-yard out route to my kid in the backyard. There's no way I could make some of those throws.
No.
But
my point is he's not as good as he was 2 years ago when he went down to Houston and they got whipped up on him.
And he's in big trouble next week. I don't think the Patriots are going to do to him what they did to Herbert last night because, well, the Chargers' O-line is a disaster. But if he plays anything like he did tonight, next Sunday in Foxborough, the Patriots are going to whoop him because he's not going to have Nico Collins, most likely, who left with a concussion. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling the Patriots will do everything they can now to take Christian Kirk out of the game. So that's for Texans and Patriots fans to discuss the rest of this week.
How about that coming around full circle? How many times did they almost acquire Christian Kirk?
That's one of those things when we get into future stuff. I mean, they have to find more depth at wide receiver. I mean, all of these hired guns, MVS, Thielen, they're all going to be gone. And so, you know, Calvin Austin's a free agent. So you got DK and a whole bunch of blank spots on the depth chart at wide receiver. So they're going to have to do some significant work, probably starting with a first round draft pick.
I still think if Rodgers had, you know, a click more time, he would have been able to perform better than he did. I think he just needed, you know, another half a second or so.
Yeah, but it just wasn't going to happen against this pass rush. It just wasn't. I want to thank the Dan Heck team for supporting the show because they've been on board from the very beginning since day one, and it is an entire year now. Happy anniversary here from Cabali and Mac. Exactly 1 year since we started this nonsense. Dan Heck team has been on board since the very beginning. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, they'll get you on board as well. Go to heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. We appreciate their support of the program. One more thing from tonight's game in particular that I have to go off on because I mentioned it a couple weeks ago after the Browns loss. If I am Pat Freiermuth, and I have a pretty good idea of Pat's demeanor, I think. We've had him on the show. Good guy. He's not going to walk in and do a Ricky Vaughn to Lou Brown in Major League and, you know, go off on Omar Khan. But he's got to have his agent make a call and say, listen, if you're not going to use my client in this offense, then let's move him somewhere where they will use him. He didn't see a target until deep into the fourth quarter again. I think only three targets on the night, if I'm correct, maybe only two. made an incredible contested catch in the middle of the field when there was still maybe a glimmer of hope in this game, and immediately gets pulled over to the sideline while Jonnu Smith is dropping footballs, missing blocks, and catching one-yard screen routes. It's just the Jonnu Smith experiment. I'm done with it. And if I'm Pat Freiermuth in particular, I've loved my time in Pittsburgh, but if you're not going to use me, send me somewhere where they will.
Yeah, what's interesting to me is it looks like Aaron Rodgers is over it too, the Jonnu Smith experience, as you called it. I mean, how many times does he bark at him? I saw on one play that negative one-yard catch. At the snap, he looked right at him, and you could tell by the look. He said, I ain't throwing the ball there. Hell with that shit. And he looked over here, and then he got pressure, and he had to throw it there. So how much do we put this on Rodgers for not just throw the ball to Freiermuth then? How about that one?
Were you in Aaron's press conference after the
game? No, I was at Hayward.
So he was asked about the lack of targets for Pat this season, particularly down the stretch by, I think it was Chris Carter. And Aaron sat there sort of blankly for a second and then said, I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. And it was, look, you can read Aaron's body language and tone. He's pretty much a transparent, open book. I read it as, and maybe I'm taking too much from between the lines, as I don't know what the hell to tell you. That's not on me. So I think there was frustration from everyone that a guy who you're paying like a top 10 tight end in the league wasn't used like one. And when he did get utilized, showed you his value. Again, I referenced late in the Cleveland game on that final drive when they got down near the goal line. Tonight, a contested catch in the middle of the field. You think back to the Baltimore game when he had a huge catch down the seam. I mean, Pat Freiermuth has been nails for this team, everything they've asked him to do. And I don't say this as some Penn State homer either. Like, you could, go ahead, shake your head at me. Question that. I mean, he could be from Ohio State. I wouldn't care. This dude needs to be used in an Arthur Smith offense especially, and they just didn't use him, Mark.
But once again, I mean, I agree with you 100%. But I do think the quarterback would have that ability to throw it to him if he wanted to. I mean, I'm not blaming it all on Arthur Smith. I'm not blaming it all on Phil Freiermuth. Yes, he needs to be more available, more involved in the offense. But the damn quarterback should be able to have that option of throwing the ball to whoever the hell he wants to.
Well, we'll go back and look at snap counts once they're published after this game. It's hard to throw a ball to a dude on the sidelines for a completed pass. That's hard to do. And Pat spent a lot of time on the sidelines this year. You outlined the numbers early in the season.
He was not happy after the game. I mean, he's a – what happened there? Sounded like a bell went off.
Is that like the chime telling you have to leave the building now?
No, they're breaking down the set or something for Monday Night Football. And
breaking it down.
Somebody must have dropped something. I forget what I was going to say. Freiermuth. Yeah, he wasn't very happy afterwards. I mean, he had that look on his face like, I would like to go talk to him, but first of all, what is he going to say?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, plus what did he do? So maybe tomorrow or whenever they had the clean outs, he'll shed some light. But the Jonnu Smith, man, you talk about there's been some hits. You know, the Kenny Gainwells have been some hits, off-season hits. I would imagine that Jonnu Smith is listed under the misses.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you need to drown your sorrows over the next few days, best place to do it and get some great wings. Archie's on Carson down on the south side, Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. 80-cent wing nights Monday through Thursday nights as well. Great food, ice cold iron and icy light and mango, always on draft too. So head on down there, get some wings. Get something cold to drink and I guess enjoy what's left of football. Go watch a Penguins game. How about that?
Yeah, then you'll be really pissed off then.
Yeah.
Or maybe we'll wait for the Pirates to win the division. Then you'll be really pissed off.
Then you'll really need to pound the iron.
Then maybe we'll go watch a Pitt basketball game. Then you could be really, really pissed off.
Don't bring it up. But thanks to Arch for supporting the show. He's been great, and we love him. So get on down there and get some of the best wings, if not the best wings in Pittsburgh. You mentioned Kenny Gainwell, so I kind of want to start to pivot towards the future. We'll get to Kenny Gainwell and the other pieces that will become free agents if they're not re-signed very shortly in a minute. But I thought it was interesting. You know, you expect it. It's ESPN. It's a national outlet. They focused a lot on Rodgers and Tomlin towards the end of tonight's game, and we could talk about those guys. But they didn't mention Cam Hayward at all. And that's one that we've talked about a lot over the last few weeks, the possibility of this being Cam Hayward's last ride as well. Maybe something that was used as a motivational tactic when he gave that speech going into the Baltimore game. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. I mean, Cam has continued to play well late in his career. He's had very much, I think, a late career renaissance over the last 4 or 5 years, but they just haven't been able to do anything with it. And I don't know at what point he looks at it. And a lot of this will have to do with the quarterback and the head coach, I'm sure. But if I'm Cam Hayward, I've had a great career. I have. Yeah. I'm going to be a face of the franchise for the rest of my life. One of those guys that's always welcomed back for alumni weekends. But even though that elusive chase for a ring didn't end the way he wanted it to, I think it might just be time to walk off into the sunset.
Yeah, he talked very briefly about it today, and he basically said, yeah, I respect the organization too much to be able to talk about it right now. I mean, I almost read into it now. I thought he might really contemplate retiring, you know, after what happened last week. But now it sounds like, I'm only making $12 million next year. Maybe I can make it sound like I'm going to retire and they'll come to me and give me a couple more bucks. I don't know. That's just how I felt. So I would not put it past him either way to come back or not. He was banged up today. I saw some ankle wrap.
Yeah.
He had some issues there. So who knows how injured he was. And that's what happens when you're 35, 36 years old. But I mean, if I'm getting the same Cam Hayward back that I had this year, I want him. I mean, right?
Yeah,
Why would you tell him no thanks? No.
No, if he wants to come back, they'll welcome him back with open arms. I'm sure of it.
I think he wants more money.
Yeah, that's where it gets.
Or an extension or whatever it would be.
Or maybe more bonuses, incentives written into the contract that he won't actually hit.
Yeah, he won't. Yeah, well, that's his fault there.
Well, I mean, that may be the fix, though. If you're looking to keep him around and looking to sort of salve his ego and make him feel like he might make what he's worth. The other two big pieces, we'll get to Tomlin in a second, and I know what you're going to tell me, but we'll get to it in a second anyway.
I mean, there was a spattering of a fire Tomlin chance here late in the game, but it might have been about 9 people.
Well, so 3 more people than there were Texans fans there.
Let's see how much that mattered.
Let's start with Rodgers.
Rodgers.
We talked a lot over the course of the last 6 weeks, especially the last month, about how much fun he looked like he was having when things were going well. But if he's going to come back, it's going to have to be to a familiar situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have to be the same head coach, the same offensive coordinator, a lot of the same familiar faces. And I think as much as we might sit around and wait for Rodgers to make a decision, it's probably going to be dictated as much by what happens organizationally, if I could say that, over the next few weeks and months as anything else. And so Rodgers and Tomlin, despite only being together for a year, feel like they're somewhat inextricably linked. And I mean that because I know what we've said about Mike Tomlin being a football guy. He's a ball coach. He loves being around the game. But I got to think there's some frustration after playing quarterback roulette for the last half decade that he probably doesn't want to go through again. So if Rodgers comes back, Tomlin comes back. If Rodgers decides he's done or Tomlin makes the decision first, they're both probably gone. And it's a hard, hard reset for an organization that hasn't gone through something like that in 35 years.
I don't know if I can disagree with that more. You're trying to tell me that Tomlin and Rodgers are attached at the hip? If one goes, the other one goes? I don't believe that at all.
So let me push back on your opinion there. Do you think Mike Tomlin has, as much as Mike Tomlin loves football, right? As much as he loves being in the building with the guys and out on the practice field and talking to dudes in the room after practice and all that stuff, being motivational speaker Tony Robbins, all of it. As much as Mike Tomlin loves that shit, you think he wants to go through another year of trying to figure out who the hell his quarterback's going to be?
I think he might enjoy the process. Maybe. I don't think that they're attached to the hip. I don't think if Aaron Rodgers says to him, Mike, I'm not coming back, he'd be like, okay, I'm done then. I'm leaving. I'm going to Fox. I don't think that's the case whatsoever. Now, I think the other way around is true. If Tomlin leaves, if Arthur Smith leaves, maybe Aaron thinks differently of him, which, you know, what was that, 6 hours ago? When did this game start? 6 hours ago, there's about 99% of the people in this chat right now where probably were saying, yes, we want Rodgers back. Just because you don't look good against the best defense in the league changes that. I think I'd welcome him back.
I think, yeah, I would take Rodgers back for another go-around. I'm not arguing against that. I don't think there's a lot of people that would say, hey, if we're going to go one more year at this thing, take one more kick at the can, bring all the guys back, all the guys that we can, then fine. Rodgers is our quarterback for another stopgap year.
See, I don't think it's going to be status quo. If anything, we've learned from Omar over the years he's been here, he's not afraid to make wholesale changes here. So a lot of these guys are one-year contract guys, guys they can get out from under, but they have to identify them, move forward and getting the guys that they want free agency-wise or whatever. That's where the key comes right now. This is where the Andy Whitehouse and his scouting department comes in and Omar being able to pull that off. You have to be able to get guys come in here to be able to help. And I think you can identify, you know, 6 to 10 different positions where you're like, okay, we need an upgrade here. We need an upgrade here. We need an upgrade here. And as I said, I think Omar has proven over the years that he's not going to hesitate to do that. Or maybe not Omar, because that's just saying he has to call. The organization allows them, which would be Rooney, allows the front office and Tomlin to make those moves freely now. So I think if you look at it, and there's a lot of people that might not be back here next year. If you pick and choose the right ones, maybe that's the formula.
So let's go to the keystone to this whole thing then. It's Mike Tomlin. And I said it a couple days ago. There's been enough smoke that I think there might be a little fire to the idea of him thinking about, hey, like I said, do I want to play another year of quarterback roulette? Do I want to go through free agency and figure out who the guy's going to be that we bring in? Do I want to go with Mason for a year? Do I want to go? I mean, we got this.
What's that face? What's that face, Mason?
I love Mason, but Mason is a great backup quarterback. As you called him earlier in the year, the best backup in the league, I think. And I'd agree with that. But I don't know if you go into a season with Mason Rudolph as your starter or Malik Willis, who's a free agent. Yeah, exactly. You're still trying to develop Will Howard. So my point is this. Does he want to go through another year of quarterback purgatory? That's got to wear on a head coach. And yeah, there was a little bit of a reprieve this year because you brought in a future Hall of Famer who took some of the leadership reins that, you know, the last few quarterbacks weren't as great at. And he played really well at times, had his struggles too. But look, if I don't have a quarterback in place, I go sit at a desk once a week with my buddy Jay Glazer, and I make $25 million a year to do so.
You would.
Yes.
But you're not a ball coach.
I think
a lot
of sensible people would.
But I just don't see it happening. Until I see it happen, I don't see it happening. I mean, that's about – we went over this a number of times already. You know, you can sit here and say how many straight playoff games they lost, 7.
He's tied with
– whatever it is. I just don't see them making it. Should they? That's not my decision. I don't know who you would replace him with. Would you want to bring in Cliff Kingsbury? I mean, maybe next year has a better crop. You even admitted yourself that this crop of coaches isn't
I don't think they're great. The crop of head coaching candidates and quarterback candidates are not great. This is not a year where if you're looking to reset the two most important pieces of an organization, head coach and quarterback, you've got a lot of fantastic options out there.
So run it back.
Omar starts wheeling and dealing.
So run it back and add pieces around him, which I think would ultimately what they're going to probably do. I mean, add a wide receiver for the fourth straight year. You know, add some depth of defensive lineman other than, you know, what you have. Add some safety. I mean, Deshaun Elliott hurt. I mean, we tend to forget that, but he hurt too as well. But just add the pieces around it and run it back for one more year. I mean, they did win 10 games. They did make the playoffs. Of course, they look bad in the playoffs. But maybe if you add the pieces, the correct pieces to the puzzle, that it changes. I don't know if I'm willing to just say, screw everybody. You can't screw everybody. I mean, the offensive line's intact for the majority of them for –
Nobody's talking about turning over the offensive line.
You just said a hard reset.
I think replacing your head coach and your quarterback is considered a hard reset.
I don't know. I mean, would you rather have Davis Mills in?
No.
So, look. What are your options? I guess the question.
The options are not great that are out there. You can bring in Mike McDaniel as your head coach.
Oh.
I mean, so my point is this. I wouldn't be shocked if both of them, Tomlin and Rodgers, decided, yeah, you know what? We gave it a good run, but I think we're going to go our separate ways, and Rodgers is going to go hang out on a beach in Malibu and do ayahuasca, and Tomlin's going to go do TV for a year or two and make a boatload of money for working one day a week. And then maybe Tomlin comes back into the fold in a couple of years. Maybe he does like Cowher and just stays on TV forever. Now, there is a path towards one more year that you talk about, and that's because Tomlin's got one more year on his contract. So if they don't pick up the option in March and he becomes a lame duck of sorts, and Roger says, all right, I got it in my old bones for one more year. You could do that if you want. And maybe the crop of head coaching and quarterback candidates a year from now is better. But there's nothing guaranteeing that either. It's like when we talk about looking ahead to the draft and, oh, I can't wait to see what this quarterback class is like. And then Garrett Nussmeier, Drew Aller, and Cade Klubnik go all poop down their legs. So, you can't predict the future. And this may be the year where it happens anyway, whether you want it to or not, whether you planned for it or not. Marvin Lewis, 7 straight playoff losses. He was done. Marty Schottenheimer, 6 straight playoff losses. He was done. Jim Morris, 6 straight playoff losses. He was done soon after that in Indianapolis. The guys that Mike Tomlin is on this list with, it's not a good sign. Things aren't trending in the right direction, Mark. So I understand the Steelers' desire for stability, and they don't like to fire head coaches. Nobody has to fire them. But the Steelers and Mike Tomlin have to have a good, long, hard talk about what the hell's going to change around here if you do stay. And if we do put one more year on the end of your deal and all of this stuff that goes into it, like, you can't keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. It's the definition of insanity.
I just think you're just oversimplifying it a little bit here.
Okay.
You know, you're saying like the Chiefs, that's the difference between the Steelers organization, right or wrong, whatever. I'm not here to make that decision. If you're just talking about Schottenheimer, you're talking about Marvin Lewis, you're talking about whoever the hell else you were talking about,
Jim Moore
in Indianapolis. You know what they have in common compared to the Steelers is nothing, because you're talking about the Colts, the Bengals, and whoever, the Chiefs at that point. So
Marty Schottenheimer went 12-4 in his last year.
Yeah. Where did he go? Did he go to Washington after that?
Yeah, he did. And it did not go well. It did not go well at all.
I don't remember.
My point is this. Everything runs its course. And again, we know the Steelers aren't going to call Mike Tomlin into Art Rooney's office tomorrow and say, you're done. Give us your key card. But I do think the discussion with him this offseason needs to be about whether he has the appetite to continue to try and rebuild this thing on an annual basis. Because to your point, Omar has no problem going out and finding new pieces every year, right? He did it this past offseason. He'll do it this offseason. I don't know. If you're Mike Tomlin, do you want to go through the purgatory of 9-8, 10-7, and just scratching and fighting and clawing to be in a wild card game again? At a certain point, it wears on a man. But it wears on us as fans. It's got to wear on him despite what he said.
But you look at it as a purgatory. I don't know if he necessarily looks at it as a purgatory. He looks at like it as a challenge he's been failing. But it's something that gets him out of bed in the morning. Let's see if I can turn this around. Let's see if I can get back to the Super Bowl. Let's see if I can win a playoff game. That motivates the man, I think. I see him every day at practice. Trust me, he's not tired. He's not ready to go. He puts in the work. The question is now, if you want to have a legitimate discussion rather than just say, fire Tomlin, period, let's move on.
Stop. We don't even need to have that conversation. No. It's not going to happen.
Okay, what I'm talking about, the conversation needs to be had is if you're calling him into – Art Rooney's calling him into his office saying, hey, Mike, something needs to change. What's going to change? Tell me exactly. Okay, you're not going to do this anymore. You're not going to do this anymore. We're going to bring this guy in to do this. Maybe that forces him out the door, but I think change needs to be happening, but change doesn't necessarily mean get rid of the coach. It needs to change the way they're doing things, okay. Certain things, whatever they identify that they need to have to be changed, or the head, or the owner, whatever he...
We agree there's different things that have gone wrong every time they've lost over the last decade, right? It's been different things. One year, it was a complete total lack of defense. Right, even though you had the killer bees, and then another year, you could go through the litany of issues. The offensive line was crap for a while after the Foster, Pouncey, DeCastro era, and they didn't transition properly into this current era. You know, they haven't had wide receivers multiple years. That's happened where you know you've got Jericho Cotchery's out there, or in this case, Adam Thielen's out there, and it's not a knock against those guys. It's just an indication that it's something different every year. There's always a shortcoming roster-wise that you're going to have to get over, unless you get lucky and build the perfect roster, which they haven't been able to do. So with that being said, the one commonality over the last decade of failure is the guy who leads the charge, the guy who is the face of the franchise now, who, for whatever reason, can't find the answers. And that's, I think, where if you're Art Rooney II, when you sit down and have that end of season chat with Mike Tomlin this week, you've got to ask him, Mike, do you think you can still find the answers? Because for the last 9 years, we haven't found the answers. And it's not a knock against you, man. We think you're a great coach. We think you're a future Hall of Famer. But we don't think that you necessarily have the right answers to the tests that we're being given here in Pittsburgh anymore. Like now, that can be an open conversation.
Yes. And then you say to him, now you tell me what you want to do differently. Then if it's not up to standard of what Art Rooney wants to hear, then you can move on from there. I mean, it could be as simple as Mike, I can't give you an extension because you lost another playoff game. You're going in as a lame duck, and Mike's like, it could be as simple as that.
Exactly. And I think that's what, look, I would make a comparison to Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. Matt LaFleur hasn't won shit since Aaron Rodgers left. He's won games, sure, but he hasn't done anything in the playoffs since Aaron Rodgers left. And all of a sudden, he wants to push the Packers to give him a multi-year extension. I'd walk into Matt LaFleur's office and say, we'll tack another extra year on. There you go. You're not a lame duck. If I were Art Rooney, I'd walk into Mike Tomlin's office or call him into mine and say, listen, you still don't have the answers. It's going on a decade now. And we can't in good conscience give you that extension that we know you want, but we can't give it to you unless you find the answers this year. And that may lead Mike Tomlin to say, Excuse me? I'm Mike Tomlin. He might pound his chest and blow a kiss to Art Rooney as he walks out of the room.
Let me ask you this question. I don't know the answer to it, so people are probably jumping down my throat. If they don't score those last two touchdowns and it's a 17-6 loss, do people, the city, the fans, still have the same vitriol of this guy got to go? Or because of those last couple ones?
I don't think it's tonight's game, Mark.
If it was 17-16 and they lost on the Fairburn last second field goal, it would have been like firing. We can't handle it anymore. I don't know.
It's not tonight's game as a singular event that has people wanting to make a change at head coach. It's like I said, the last 9 years and the continued failures late in seasons. You know, you remember the back-to-back losses at home to Arizona, New England a few years ago, who had a combined like 5 wins between them when they had the division on the line and could clinch a playoff spot with Kenny friggin' Pickett at quarterback, and they fell on their face. And then they fall on their face again last year with Russell Wilson. And they trip up again late this year with a future Hall of Famer at quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. Granted, DK was suspended, I get it, but they trip up again and nearly miss the playoffs. Tyler Lute misses a field goal. It's the only reason we're sitting here talking right now. And then they put up 175 yards of offense, granted against a great defense, but they force 3 turnovers. They don't do anything with it. And once again, they look outclassed, regardless of what the final score was. They look outclassed.
They looked outclassed because they give up, 21 third quarter points or fourth quarter points in the 9 minutes and 2 defensive touchdowns, right? I just want to know if it ends up 17-10 or whatever.
Yes, people are still done with it.
Would it be this overwhelming? He needs to go.
If it had ended on a 63-yard Kyemi Fairbairn field goal at the buzzer, people would still be frustrated. Because it's 9 years of this. It's nine times, Mrs. Bueller. He is just leading you down the primrose path. I can assure you, Principal Rooney, that Ferris is truly a very sick boy. But the point is, it's the year after year monotony. My 12-year-old kid looked at me before he went to sleep tonight and said, told you, 10-7 and a loss in the wild card game. He's 12 and he's already conditioned to this, Mark.
Well, that's because he listened to you.
No, he listens to both of us.
He listens to you.
He lays there in bed and listens to the show. He's probably up there listening to it right now, even though he should be sleeping. He listens to both of us, so he gets both sides.
I'm just wondering if – I don't know. I was going to say something, but I better not.
What? Say it. No. Get it out.
No. I'm just – I don't know. I mean, it's just very, very – to me, it's just very repetitive and very –
Yeah, tell me about it. It's repetitive.
Of just like fire somebody and all of a sudden it changes things. What needs to be changed is the roster. That needs to be changed is maybe a coach. What needs to be changed is the scheme.
What's a new defensive coordinator going to do for this? I'll just use that as an example. If Terrell Austin ends up being the one who has to bite the bullet, and is one of the assistants that's gone. If Arthur Smith leaves for a job somewhere else, or I don't know, for whatever reason, to just go sit on his FedEx money, if these coordinators are gone, what does that change?
Oh, I think the coordinator might change a lot. I mean, you do have a very talented individual defense as in players, and you have a defensive coordinator that's really hasn't had success anywhere he's been. You give me a defensive coordinator like they had on the other side of the field, maybe that changes things. Maybe it changes scheme. Maybe it changes of who they draft. Maybe that changes of who they go after in free agency. So I think that can make a difference. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. I've seen different defensive coordinators. I've seen different offensive coordinators. Fichtner, Canada, Smith. And we keep getting the same results. That's what I mean. And Look, again, I'm not in this camp of you walk into Mike Tomlin's office and rip his key card out of his hand and tell him to walk home to Shadyside, but you go in and have a very difficult conversation with him about, we don't know if you can find the answers to this, Mike, and that's why you're not getting an extension in March. Mm-hmm. And we're sorry if that upsets you. If it does upset you, we understand. And then Mike Tomlin can make the decision on his own, like a big man, big boy, about, hey, do I want to work as a lame duck? And if not, like I said, go sit on a desk in LA once a week with my buddy Jay Glazer, talk ball, hang out, make a bunch of money, and then maybe I get back into coaching in a couple of years because people are going to still have this vision of me as being able to get a job anywhere.
You know, I think I've changed my mind. I just want him to get fired so we never have to talk about this ever again. Fire him. So we don't have
to understand, though, like the monotony,
of me hearing every single day for the next 6 months of fire Tomlin.
But do you
it's just mind numbing to me? I can't take it anymore.
Do you know what's mind numbing and repetitive and monotonous?
I'm guessing losing seven playoff
going 10-7 and losing a wild card game every year. God damn it.
Do you think any coach, how many coaches have won 10 games, won the division, and got fired? I'm just curious. I don't know. I'm not.
I just told you.
Don't read anything.
Ago, Marty Schottenheimer.
Don't read anything into it.
I just told you. Marty Schottenheimer got fired after a 12-4 season because he didn't have the answers in Kansas City anymore.
So, just hypothetically, if they bring another coach in, and Mark they McCormick. Go, no, well, that you might as well just keep Tomlin if you're going to do that. If you bring another coach and they go 6-11 three straight years, you'd be okay with it?
No, who's okay? Here's the thing. It's like I said earlier about when we talk about future quarterback drafts.
There's no Ben Johnson out there.
No. I don't think there is either. But let me finish. You don't know what's going to happen. I don't think there's any Ben Johnsons out there. But maybe there is, and we don't know it. We didn't think there was anybody out there when Cowher retired. We thought they were just going to flip it, take the playbook and hand it to Russ Grimm or Ken Wisenhunt. And they didn't. They went with some dude we'd never heard of who'd had 1 year as a defensive coordinator, and he won a Super Bowl 2 years later with cars, players. Doesn't matter. They got somebody we'd never heard of, and he built an 18-year career. So that guy may be out there. We don't know, I guess is my point, and we won't know until there's actually some sort of change. Change is scary. I get it, especially for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But at a certain point, when you've done the same thing every year for a decade, and you're going nowhere, you're just treading water, that's great. You're not the Arizona Cardinals. Congratulations. You're not excited to make the playoffs. You have greater goals. So actually go after them. And if you go 6-11 for 3 years, then you fire that guy and you try it again.
You'd rather go 6-11 3 years and go 10-7 and win the division and lose in the playoff game.
Nobody wants to go 6-11 3 years in a row. But at the very least, they want to know that the organization is willing to try whatever's necessary. That old Tomlinism about we're going to turn over every stone. Art Rooney needs to buy into that. Turn over every stone until you figure it out.
I agree. I mean, I thought last year that they should have taken some power away from him, but apparently they didn't. And I don't think he's at the point of his career 19 years in that you're going to take anything away from him. He'll just walk away.
Unfortunately, it gets to an impasse very quickly, I would think. If they do have that hard conversation with him this week or in the next couple of weeks, that hard conversation about, listen, Mike, we're not going to be picking up your option in March. Here's why. And he says, I can't believe you're not doing that. You guys know I believe in what we're doing. And they say, yeah, you believe in what you're doing, but we don't know if we believe in it anymore. And he walks away. And everyone gets to save face. The Rooneys get to say that they still haven't fired a head coach. And Mike Tomlin gets to walk away of his own volition. It's a mutual parting of ways, like you said a couple months ago. And the Steelers get a fresh start. And yeah, maybe they go 6-11 for a few years in a row. Nobody would be happy about that because we wouldn't have playoff games like this to bitch about afterwards. But at the very least, you'll know that Art Rooney II cared enough to try something different. I don't know.
You don't think he cares?
I don't think he cares enough to do the hard thing. The hard thing is having that conversation with Mike Tomlin that I just outlined. That's the hard thing. Because right now, Mike's last name might as well be Rooney. That's how ingrained he is in the organization, in the franchise.
You know, well, I mean, when you're around 20 years, 19 years, you tend to have that type of pull. But I just don't think Art Rooney, who, you know, has more in his rear view than his front mirror or whatever Tomlin calls it.
He's got a bigger windshield than a rear view.
The one of the last things he does is to get rid of his coach that he hired 20 years ago. I'm just thinking his mindset.
That's just resting on the logo, man. That's just resting on the logo. We're the Steelers. We'll figure it out eventually.
I think the people's belief that you just bring a new coach in is going to fix everything is just flawed.
No, but this is what I can't get through to you.
It's just a flawed concept.
That bringing in a new coach will necessarily fix everything like that. It's not a magic bullet. It may end up being that. That would be a great outcome. It may end up falling flat on its face. It may be somewhere in the middle. But at the very least, it's trying a different tack and not doing the same thing.
Can't you do that by just keeping what you have intact right now and not upending the 3 straight 10-win seasons? Just add to that where you can get over to that hump of playoff losses,
That theory from you means just coaching and personnel changes. No change at the top, right?
Oh, I don't. What do you consider a top? Just Tomlin?
Yeah.
He runs the organization.
Come on, let's.
Oh, if he's running the organization, he's not going to fire himself.
He runs the organization except for Art's ability to keep him from running the organization.
I don't know.
I just don't know if going out and getting wide receivers and free agency in the draft and bringing in a quarterback, I don't know how or where or when you'd get that, or even running it back with Tomlin and Rodgers for another year. I mean, is that going to get you from 10-7 and a loss on wild card weekend to 12-5 and a Super Bowl run? Does anybody believe that? But it becomes, well, it's the most comfortable thing. It's a whole lot better than bringing in some coach we don't know and maybe going 6-11 for 3 straight years. That's living in your fears.
I mean, old Teleman 900 says I'm smug because, content with losers that run the franchise. I'm sorry, 3 straight 10-win seasons, and we have 3 straight playoff appearances now. I don't know if I'd quite say that, consider that a loser franchise, a one that has not lived up to the ultimate goal. I wouldn't quite call them losers.
I haven't been paying attention to the chat in full disclosure.
Fire everybody.
No. Did anybody call them a bunch of losers?
Who? I'm sure
anybody in the chat
did.
Called them a bunch of losers.
They probably called me a loser, but I don't know.
Yeah, they call us names all the time. That's fine. Well, now Yoey's jumping in to do it just to throw a monkey wrench into things.
You want to fire everybody. Just fire everybody. It'll fix everything. Fire Tomlin and they're going 17-0 next year.
But why does it? No. Why does it have to be an absolute though?
You're just talking about it. So you're going to fire somebody to be worse?
No, you're going to not fire somebody. You're going to give him an ultimatum. Tell him he's not getting an extension. If he doesn't like that, then he can leave.
I probably says, okay, I don't need an extension.
Then here's your lame duck year.
No, you still bitch.
No, if Mike Tomlin does not get a contract extension in March, then we know that he's coaching for his job in 2026 and that he has to do better. And then, hey, maybe he saves it all, goes on an epic run next year with Will Howard at quarterback. I don't know.
You're making it sound like he's not trying.
Just because they change coaches doesn't mean they're going to go 6-11. It also doesn't mean they're going to go 17-0. But it's trying something different. That's the greater point here. Do something different. You've tried this for 20 years. It got you a Super Bowl very early on in Mike Tomlin's tenure. It got you to a couple AFC championship games after that. And now you've got 9 straight years of not winning a playoff game. 7 playoff losses in a row. Eventually, you have to come to the realization that you're doing the same thing over and over again, getting the same results. Doesn't that call for a change?
Might as well have him sell the franchise to Nutting then.
Oh, dear God. Why has it got to go all the way to the nth degree with you?
I mean, I can honestly believe it if they can continue to go 5-11, 5-12.
I found somebody that agrees with you. Steel Curtain rides again.
Everybody's calling me a loser. People, losers that don't have their name. Don't have their name on their chat.
So this person thinks I'm an
tough
idiot.
Guy.
Mac, you're different is having 10 head coaches in 10 years with zero culture to hold on to. You don't change head coach after a year. And Steelers culture is Steelers culture. Like the Steelers brand identity and integrity and all that don't exist because of Mike Tomlin. They exist because they're the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you really, truly believe in the logo and everything that goes into the franchise's history and legacy, then it doesn't immediately rub off on a new coach right away, but he steps into it and becomes a part of that legacy and of that culture and maybe carries it in a different way. Tomlin certainly carries it in a different way than Cowher did, and Cowher certainly carried it in a different way than Knoll did. But the legacy and the culture of the Pittsburgh Steelers are always going to be what they are. And the standard, sorry to use a cliche, is always going to be the standard, which is this organization and its fans, at least, expect that they should compete for a championship every year. And that's always going to be the standard in Pittsburgh. Whether Mike Tomlin's the head coach or, I don't know, some random dude that lives under the Birmingham Bridge is the head coach. Like, that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's always what we're going to expect of them. So to imply that Mike Tomlin leaving immediately axes the culture of the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think, is foolish.
I'm just...
You've had enough, haven't you?
I just had enough that I just come to the realization we're going to have 12 more months of this same conversation.
Mm-hmm. You know why? Because nothing's going to change.
12 more months of this conversation.
So you get tired of the repetitiveness and the monotony. Ugh. It's because of the repetitiveness and the monotony of the
10 wins a year. Yeah, I'm really tired of that.
If you're a fan of this team, are you tired of losing a playoff game every year?
Am I tired of 10 wins in AFC North Division title?
That's great. Wonderful. Saying. It's a hat and a t-shirt. And then you lose in the playoffs again.
Only one team has, over the past 10 years, have more wins than the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it's your Kansas City Chiefs.
And they've got some rings to go with it, to show for it. Mm-hmm. The Steelers don't.
Just fire him tomorrow so I don't have to deal with this anymore.
Thanks to our friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show. If you need your furnace checked out, maybe you're having issues with it this winter, they're the people to do it. Message them directly on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH or give them a call at 412-297-1852. We appreciate Impact HVAC supporting the show, as well as our good friends at Higgins Professional Painting, who've been doing epic work over at the Gabali family estate. Those massive vaulted ceilings, all the work they've been doing over there. Once they're done, I'll have them in my home, have them in your home as well. Interior, exterior, they do it all. The drywall repair as well. They'll do a color consultation if you want. The whole shebang. They'll get you a free estimate right now if you go get in touch with them at HigginsProfessional.com or by giving them a call at 412-344-0480. I meant to get into talk of like personnel decisions and players to look forward to keeping.
Oh, why? Let's continue talking about the head coach and if he's going to get fired or not.
No, I meant players. I meant to get into that, but
I love talking about the head coach.
It's way too late. We can talk about players and personnel decisions in that regard, roster decisions later in the week. We'll come back and do another show, maybe Thursday. Later in the week, though, after we've all had a chance to cool off, and I assume Mike Tomlin may have some sort of year-end press conference, and everybody will pack up their lockers and go their separate ways.
Yeah, I don't even know when that is.
You'll find out soon enough, I'm sure.
I'm just seeing if they...
Anything posted yet?
I don't think it has been.
No?
What is today?
Today's the 13th. Happy anniversary. The one-year anniversary of Molly and Mac. You don't know the date?
You son of a bitch.
What?
Clean out tomorrow, 1 to 145.
Woo, baby. It's happening fast.
And Tomlin might be either later in the week or Monday or Tuesday.
I would imagine not tomorrow, right?
No.
Then no Tomlin press conference tomorrow?
Art will be at the end of the month.
And nothing will change.
We'll go 10-7. Put it this way.
And 10-7 will be nice, but then they'll lose the first playoff game again.
Yay. Let's just hire Cliff Kingsbury.
Always to the nth degree with you. I love you, but God, you're a bastard sometimes. That's going to do it for tonight, this morning, whatever the hell you want to call it. We appreciate every single one of yins who hung out with us for this post-game edition, post-season edition now, I guess, of Cabali and Mac. We will be with you, obviously, throughout the offseason. We're going to talk a lot about everything going on. Mark's going to love every single second of it, all the speculation. So make sure you've subscribed on YouTube and set your notifications and follow if you don't already on all your social media, X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all of it, Cabali and Mac. We're going to both, well, Kaboom's got to write a story. I'm going to go take a little nap. I'll be on Westwood One Sports tomorrow, forcing Cabali to show up for a segment.
Potentially.
Maybe. We'll see if you wake up for the phone call. And we'll talk to yins again later in the week. We appreciate every single one of you this year.
Except that schmuck that kept calling me names.
Lots of people call us names. You got to stop watching the chat sometimes. Get over it. People hate you. People love you, too. So we'll talk to you soon. Go get some sleep. This has been Cabali and Mac. Thank you. Love you.